Amen. Come just as you are. Come tell your story. We are in our study of the Gospel of John. If you want to go ahead and take your Bibles and open them to John chapter 1 and verse 19 and give you some time to come there. But we're talking about tell your story as we're going to take a little adventure through Scripture here and look at John the Apostle's testimony as he told his story, and going to see what we can glean from that about telling our story, or I will put it more directly to you, telling your story. So if you have your Bibles open to John chapter 1 and verse 19, once again, if you would stand out of honor for the reading of God's Word as we pull from the New Testament. And it begins there as it says, "This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' They asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' And he said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you?' So that we may give an answer to those who sent us, 'What do you say about yourself?' And he said, 'I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said.' Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him and said to him, 'Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophets?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie.' These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, He whom you see the Spirit descending and remain upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.'" Father, your word is powerful. Father, your word does not go out void. And Father, this morning we have heard your word read aloud. We have read your word with our eyes. Father, we have held your word in our hand. This morning, would you help us to glean from it for what you have for a time as this? Father, would you remove my flesh? Would you fill me with the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to bring your message to your people? Father, would you speak to our hearts this morning? Father, would you help us come to a point of response to you, the Holy Spirit, so that our worship may be fulfilled and we may become more like you? Father, I pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. As we begin to look at tell your story, the first thing that I think we can glean from these passages is, and I'm sorry if this hurts your feelings, it's not about you. Your story is not about you. And I tell you something I really love, as a side note here, this is free, you don't have to pay for this. But in seminary class, we've been talking about some history, and when you break that down and we actually find out that history is his story. So our story is actually not about us. It's not who we are. What did we see in those first few verses there that it says, "This is the testimony of John, whom the Jews sent to him, priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask, 'Who are you?'" We must understand all of the characters in the story to understand what's happening. First of all, we have the Jews, and we hear Jews used several different ways. One way, the Jews were God's chosen people. At this point in time, the Jews sometimes are referred to as those that are in opposition to Christ. If you approach someone today as a whole of a Jew, most of them are still waiting for the Messiah to come. There are some Jews for Jesus who are Jews by heritage, but they believe in Christ, but a lot of them are still waiting. So the Jews at this point, what we're looking at, those being called Jews, are those who have some degree of God's knowledge and know of the Messiah, but they're still waiting and they don't understand exactly what's happening. We also have the priest, and we all know about the priest, and they have a duty to carry out the sacred rites. And priest would be descendants of Aaron. It's important that we understand that, because in just a minute, the next one we're going to look at are Levites. And they also work in the temple, but they're a little lower than the priest, and they are not descendants from the Levite, they're not descendants of Aaron, but they do come from the tribe of Levi. So we have these leaders in the church. And John the Baptist is out there talking about, make ready the way for someone coming after me. So you can imagine instantly that these leaders in the church are beginning to kind of get a little concerned. We're waiting for the Messiah and he hadn't come yet. Who is this man talking about? So they send these priests and Levites to question John the Baptist. And here's what he said. And he confessed when they asked him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." That's the first thing he knew they wanted to know. Was he the one, because of what was happening? And he very emphatically said, "I'm not the Christ. This story is not about me." And he moves on there, and they said, "Then are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not. Are you a prophet?" And he said, "No." So nothing is about him. This Elijah, we're all familiar with that. And we see in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 through 14, we need to understand who Elijah is there. 2 Kings 9, chapter 2 and 9 says, "When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask, what shall I do for you before I'm taken from you?' And Elisha said, 'Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.' And he said, 'You have asked and heard things. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be for you. But if not, it shall not be so.' As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, 'My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen.' And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, 'Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?' And when also he had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over." Elijah is one of two, to the best of my knowledge, that went to heaven without dying. Elijah, we see this whirlwind took him up. So they're thinking, and they know that they talk about Elijah as one coming back to foretell the return of Christ. So they're thinking, maybe this is Elijah. You're coming back and you're doing all these miraculous things. But he said, "It's not me. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet." Then they said to him, "Who are you?" You can imagine you're seeing these miraculous things and these people are flocking to John the Baptist and he's baptizing these people. But yet now he's proclaiming to not be Christ. He's not Elijah. He's not the prophets. So that he may give an answer. They wanted an answer to return back to them. And here's what he said. We read it earlier from Isaiah 43. And we read that together. "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Elijah the prophet had said." He was referring back to Old Testament scripture, what the New Testament church would have had at that time for their Bible would have been Old Testament scripture. And they're familiar with these prophets and what Isaiah said. And he's saying, this is who I am. It was foretold. There's one coming before the Messiah. And I'm the one that's coming before saying, make ready, make the path straight. Well, that might not have been good enough for them, because you see, it's not about you. But these next few verses, we can begin to see maybe that it's about one greater than you. Your story is all about, as a born-again believer, one greater than you. And what do we see there? Verse 24, it says, now they had been sent from the Pharisees. Now here comes another group of people. These would have been known as those who specifically observed the law. And they came about from the time that we broke into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and then they were all deported into Babylon. They began to come back. These Pharisees came together because they had all these laws, and they wanted to strictly enforce these laws. They wanted to make sure everything stayed intact, because in their mind, this New Testament stuff that was happening was heresy. They wanted to make sure that they stood the ground according to Old Testament laws. So here's this guy baptizing in water and claiming to be one coming before the Messiah. So they send to him and they want to ask him because they understand the law. And they say, why are you baptizing if you're not the Christ? And he says, it's about one greater than me. They asked him that, and if you're not Christ or Elijah or the prophet, and here's what John answered them saying, I baptize in water. But among you stands one you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. I baptize in water. We baptize in water. It's a symbol. But the one that came after John the Baptist, as we're going to see in a moment, he's the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That's what changes life. I could go out down these streets and pick everybody up, put them on a bus, bring them down here, fill this baptistry up, put them all in the water, and send them on their way, and nothing has changed. They can walk this aisle and accept Christ, and I can go baptize them, and nothing in that water changes their life other than they obeyed Christ in a step of obedience. Christ, one greater than John the Baptist, came after him. And he says, one who I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal. For a servant, that was reserved for a low position. But then he says that this took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan where John baptizes. Is that map the next one in your slide, if you'll bring that up? I want y'all to see the best you can here. This is Bethany, or Bethlehem right in here, and Judea. When they talk about the Bethany, the other side of the Jordan would be right over here. Some believe it to be up here, but other parts of Scripture lead it to be believed right there. It's not in Jerusalem. He was outside of Jerusalem on the other side of the river in an area called Perea, which is where he eventually ended up getting into some prison over there. But we can see that he was a little ways away. But can you imagine these people flocking to him as begin to cause a scene? Enough that they have sent some religious leaders from the church to question who he was. And he said that basically it's not about me. And then he moved on, and some of the Pharisees, those that are strictly holding to the law, send to question him. And he begins to tell his story. It's not about me. It's about one greater than I. And in the last part of this passage, we see in telling your story that it's about Christ. We can tell our personal story all day long, and it does nothing for no one. I can tell you how bad of a person I was, how good of a person I am. I can even go through pretty much part of the story and begin to tell you that there was a time in my life when I was this away and that away, and now I live this away and that away, and it does nothing for you unless I put the part in the middle of who it's about. You see, in a time in my life, I was a good person, but I was searching. I didn't feel like I belonged. But then Christ came in and gave me a place to belong, and now I have a place to serve, and I know who I serve. Story changes when we put in there who it's about. It's about Christ. And then we see in these scriptures in verse 29, he says, the next day, he, talking about John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Did he literally mean there was a four-legged furry little creature walking? No. Why the Lamb of God? Because it took a lamb to pay the sacrifice for sin. Not only that, it took a perfect, spotless, unblemished lamb. And they were beginning to get away from that and trying to use defective lambs. But the perfect lamb, the Lamb of God, he is the only one who takes away your sins. And this is he on behalf of who I said comes after me and has a, here's your quiz today, a higher rank than I. Do y'all remember what that means? What was John the Baptist talking about when he said a higher rank than I? Christ came before him. Christ was always, they used higher rank. We talked last week about age and those who come before. But he is once again stepping on the theological statement that Christ has always been. Christ in his flesh was born after John the Baptist, but he's taking one higher than I, one that was here before me. And he even goes on to say he existed before me. If you remember, John was related to Jesus, but in verse 31 he says, I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John the Baptist could have been, there's two ideas that go here, off in the wilderness since he was born and grew up and kind of separated, and he's out in the wilderness and he didn't necessarily know Jesus. But it's also believed that he might have known Jesus as his relative, but did not understand that Jesus was the Messiah. Just imagine for a moment, if you will, follow me without calling me a heretic here, but imagine that your relative was born the Christ. Would you believe that he was Jesus? Probably not. But up until John the Baptist had a testimony from God that Jesus was the Messiah. Remember I said we're coming from a different point of view here in John's gospel. He doesn't go through the baptism narrative that we see in the other Gospels. But he does say, the one who sent me, God spoke to him, the one who sent him, and said, when you see the dove come down and descend and stay on someone, that's the Messiah. So when he was there baptizing, and that baptism and those heavens opened up, and that dove ascended down and landed on him, he knew from God that this was the Messiah. And now he says in verse 32, John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. And then he says, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God. So tell your story. Your story is not about you. Your story is about someone greater than you, and it is about Christ. We can see through John the Baptist, his life story, who he was, came out through him enough that people came to him, he was being baptized, and it stirred something up. It is obvious that something was going on in his life because they sent people to question him. Question to you this morning, does your life tell the story of who you believe in? Is your life different enough that people are going to come and ask you, who are you? Your life before Christ and your friends before Christ and your life now, is it different enough that they come and say, who are you? And then you must realize that it's not about you. John gave that testimony. He was quizzed. We will say he was trialed, put on trial by those of the church. Those religious leaders come out to him. Basically, they were probably afraid that maybe people are going to go to him and not see us no more. They had a pride issue. Then we see the Pharisees, those that are strict in the law. We can look at our government today and say, we've got a set of laws. You don't fit into that. Are you still willing to stand up and say, you know, it's not about me, it's about someone greater than I? And when Christ is living us and we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to live through us and take these stance, when you're questioned and you're drilled, you must tell that the story is about Christ. If you heard me just a moment ago, in a matter of 2 or 3 seconds, I shared with you a testimony. I did it a couple of times. I hope maybe you picked up on that. There once was a time in my life when I was good, but I was searching. Then Christ came and I realized that He loved me and there was a place for me to belong. He saved me and now I belong in the kingdom of heaven. 5-second testimony. Many are trained to do a 2-minute testimony so that you can do it in an elevator. How about if we can get it shorter than that? 6 seconds. The 3 key parts. Once was a time in my life. Then I met Christ. And now. Short and simple. Tell your story. John the Baptist shows us that a life of obedience to Christ is going to make us stand out. People are going to ask, and that we must realize it's not about you. It's about one greater than you. It's about Christ. Because I'm not here to offend anyone, but as I said when I began, your story isn't about you. Your story of you will not change anyone. And our goal in life is to bring glory to Christ. So the story must be history. It must be His story. Tell your story. May you bow your heads.